Last night I was just praying and seeking direction. I had this message ready, PowerPoint, on the spirit of the Antichrist, and I'm going to come back to that sometime. But as I was just before the Lord and just asking, what would be a hindrance to us going forward and experiencing you in a deeper, more profound way? He answered. Just clearly, he just opened the scriptures to me. He just said, this is an issue among you. And if people want to make progress, this is something that they'll have to learn to deal with. And this is what's bad about this is, so I don't have this PowerPoint and you don't have your Bible. I may have caught you off guard. I spoiled you by putting the scriptures up there. But I'm going to turn to Philippians. You know, sometimes you don't see me open my Bible up here because I've already done that. But today I'm going to work with one of my old faithful. You see it here? Up my hill. I've spent a lot of time here. And in Philippians, the book took Paul's letter to the church of Philippi. And I'm just going to start with this verse 12 in Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more, even in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay. That means there's something for us to work out. To work out that's in us, but we, through our cooperation, not God doing it for us, but God doing it in us. For God is at work in you. Or at work is the Greek word energos. We get the English word energy from that. God is energizing us both to will, which means to desire, and to perform. Remember what Jesus told his disciples when he had asked him to pray with him in the garden, and it was late, and they had already been through a lot, and they kept falling asleep, and he kept going, could you not stay awake and pray with me 1 hour? And remember what he said? The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. That the word for willing is desire. God is energizing us to desire. Yes. He's energizing us to do it. We don't have it on our own. It's not our own natural desire. Because you know what our natural desire is centered in? Our natural desire is centered in me. Me, myself, and I. And we think if I am happy, the world will be good. Jesus said, if you lose that life, you will find real life. Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. You can try to satisfy the self life till the blue moon comes 3 times in 1 month. It's never happened, by the way. It can only come twice in 1 month in case you don't know your geography or your, what do they call that? Geoscience. Can't happen. But God is energizing us to will, to desire, and to be able to perform the things that are pleasing to Him. We already have enough energy to do what the things that are pleasing to ourselves, don't we? Amen. We got enough energy to do that. We may be limited a little bit by our finances and our time, but we work a lot at pleasing ourselves, don't we? Oh yeah, we know how to do that already. It takes God energizing us to will and to perform the things that are pleasing to Him. Then he says this. Here's where he's taking us to. And this is what was birthed in my heart last night. Because of this. Because God is energizing us both to do the things, to desire the things He wants and please Him, and to actually do the things that please Him. For this reason, everything you do, make sure it is as far away, apart from. Do everything. Your version may say without, but the Greek word is chorus. Ah, chorus. Apart from, as far as you can, every single thing you do it away from murmuring and complaining.
Amen.
That's one thing. You want to stay as far away. Now, what is he talking about? It's because God is energizing you to do the things that are pleasing to him. Stay away as far as you can from anything that has to do with murmuring or complaining. Now, what is murmuring? It comes from the Greek word that is describing the sound of a dove. It's kind of it's a strange Greek word. But it's that sound you make when you're irritated. It's kind of like the low growl. We all have our way to do it. But here's what it is. It is our natural response when we're irritated.
Yes.
It's just our natural human response to something that bothers us. We should stay away from that natural response as far as we can. You don't realize how deadly that is. Because when you think of murmuring, you know, it's always low. Because we usually it's quiet within ourselves first. We observe something. Someone has done something, said something, or not done something, and we're like, Just ourselves. At first, it's just how we're reacting.
Yes.
And then what happens? We start thinking about it.
Yeah.
Here's the next word. We start thinking about it. We have reasons to feel this way, right? I mean, after all, they said that, or they did that. We've got reasons. And you realize those are the two things you're told to stay away from. Stay away from your natural response and stay away from your reasons. Don't trust your reasons. They may seem perfectly legitimate to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 20 says this. God knows that the reasons of the wise are in vain. What does he mean by that? They're shallow. They're surface. You're only human. Yes, you can convince me. It happens. Someone comes to me and says, Pastor, this bothered me. This person, this. And everything they said is accurate. They're giving me their reasons. And the whole time my spirit is saying,
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
My spirit. Because something's missing. You know what's missing? The deep things of God.
Yes.
The deep. You know what the deep things of God are? Mercy.
Yes.
Long suffering and compassion and hope. And any of us in our natural reasonings could explain why we're being bothered. And you can. It can be right. It can be accurate. It can be factual. But it is shallow and it is human. And it will not bring you glory in God. Because you know what it does? There was a people who were famous for their complaining. And they had reasons. Let's look about it. Their natural response was, and let's look at how reasonable their response was. God had called them out of Egypt, right? He sent them Moses. He led them out of Egypt. He departed the Red Sea, destroyed the army of Pharaoh, and here's what he told them. Look, you just follow the cloud. When the cloud lifts up and starts to go, that's when you're to go. And wherever it goes, you go. And guess where the cloud led them? Straight into the middle of the desert. And 3 days in the middle of the desert. And 3 days without water. Is that reasonable? To kind of feel, come on, God, do you know what you're doing? You know where you're going? Don't you know it takes water to survive? It's all reasonable, isn't it? All reasonable. But God has something deeper. He's going to do a miracle and make water come out of a rock to show them, I can do way think beyond the natural. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But they had their reasons. Then they, of course, they continue to follow the, and the deeper they go into the desert, the desert's not exactly a place you can plant your garden.
Amen.
Well, you can carry so much food with you, right? I mean, they probably left Egypt with a little bit good supply, but you can imagine every day they're kind of noticing there's a little bit less, there's a little bit less in the bag. There goes the cloud. And we're not turning around yet. Kind of like the wife who's riding, her husband's driving and he's lost and she's afraid to ask him to stop for direct. You know, I mean, just, you know, you have your reasons. It's very natural. It's logical. It doesn't seem right. We're running out of food. And they, what do? They acted naturally. We're hungry. We got children crying here.
Yes.
Come on now. It's one thing for me to be a little hungry, but God, I got kids. I'm sure God is so moved by your help, by your observation, you know. You see, the Lord knows that the reasonings of the wise are vain. They wanted meat. But you want meat? I'll send you meat. Remember he caused an east wind to blow? And the east wind brought in some critters. They hunt them here in Texas. They're called quail. And he buried the camp up to a mile in either direction in quail 3 feet deep. His ways are not our ways. And it says they ate so much till it came out there. No. God was trying to make them sick of themselves. Because that's our, the way we think is wrong. There are, not because it's not logical. Not because there's not a legitimate reason. Yes, if she started doing that and if she stopped doing that. See, I was a husband. I was married once.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. You reminded me. Go back to the back. And I, my thoughts were right. If she would just wash my socks and put them together and get them in the drawer. I wouldn't be frustrated. I come, I'm late for work, and I open the drawer, and it's reasonable. What are you doing all day long? That's reasonable. Come on, that's reasonable, right? I mean, it's reasonable. I mean, I've been wearing these for 3 or 4 days now. Okay, I mean, it's reasonable. You see? But did it, there was something deeper God was after. And really, having a drawer full of socks wasn't what I needed. And we should be strong in spirit and weak in our natural selves. This is why Paul is saying, do everything you do without murmuring at quiet, that response, that natural, irritated response, and actually giving you reasons why. Now, let me tell you what I've observed. I've observed this in me. And listen, I can tell on myself. It's just me. So this is, sin is common to us. So this is common amongst all of us. But here is how this kind of murmuring, this natural reaction, and the reasons we have for stating this is the way we feel, this is why it's so damaging to the church and to a family and to a marriage. It's so damaging. Let's say I observe someone. I'll create a scenario that's actually, it happens. It's not a made up. I can just describe it. We observe someone, a sister or a brother. We observe them do something, say something. Maybe they say it to us. Maybe we're just watching them do it or say it to someone else. And you know what our natural response is? It's reasonable, right? They shouldn't have done that. Should they? That was not very nice, right? It's reasonable. But you know what you just did? You murmured. And then you know what you can do? You know what you can add to your murmuring? You go to that person in their life, and you're just talking about what you see. What happened to church today? Well, so and so. You see what you've done? You see what you did? In your natural self, not being logically wrong, not being inaccurate, not making anything up, not exaggerating, you operated in your shallow, natural reasons, missing the deep things of God. Because maybe the deep thing of God is God let you witness that so you could pray for this person.
Yes.
Because love covers a multitude of friends. And he who conceals a matter preserves a relationship. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. And tell me when you're murmuring to the person, you're telling what that person did. Is that any better than what they did?
No.
No. And you were reasonable. You just weren't godly or spiritual or loving or merciful. Why is this on my heart today? It's so obvious, isn't it? Do you see what revelation is when God opens something to us? And he shows us what's going on. We can operate in such a natural way that we miss the deep things of God. Because God in his, you talk about accurate in perception. God who saw how bad we were and the way we were. How did he choose to deal with it? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God saw how ugly it was. God saw how bad it really was. God saw that while we were still ungodly, his response was Christ Jesus died for us. And if this is the way that God demonstrates his love for us, okay, this is the way we are to demonstrate our love for one another. And this is supposed to be what the church is known for. We as a church should stay as far apart from murmuring or complaining against one another.
Yes.
As we do, like we think, we're staying apart from staying out of bars. We can stay out of the bars, and we can stay out of the strip joints, and we can stay away from all those things. But we're going to be grieving the Holy Spirit if we don't stay away from murmuring and complaining about each other.
Amen.
And we're not any better than they are. We're not any better than they are if we're just religious do-gooders who bite and devour one another. Isn't it amazing that immediately following the verse in there in Galatians chapter 5 about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. The very next verse is, but don't become puffed up or conceited, biting and devouring one another. All this wisdom God's given me shows me what a bad person you really are. I know to stay away from you. And let me tell you, we can come in these doors and harbor these little murmurs. You know, we talk about, a lot of people have a heart murmur. Don't know it, right? Doesn't kill you. Unless certain stressful situations. You can live with a heart murmur, can't you? But the thing about an irregular heart, a heart murmur, it doesn't tend to pump the blood in the way it should And if blood doesn't pump the way it should, it builds up in this little thing called clots. And if it builds up in this little thing called a clot and your heart's still pumping, it's liable to send that clot right up there into the brain. And what's supposed to save life, like the ability to communicate, like the ability to see and to reason, some good things in the wrong way can cause a stroke. Yes. And I mean, and you talk about knocking someone out.
Yes.
And suddenly there goes a relationship. There goes someone wounded. There goes someone who's paralyzed by the lack of love. Someone in their natural self felt justified in doing and doesn't even see that it's wrong. Just, you're right, sister. Lord, help us. Lord, I mean, it is just, we need, this is why it is so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Trust in the, Eli shared this verse, and he shares it fairly often. I don't know if it's one of his favorite verses, but he shared it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own. You see, the things you understand might be your problem. No, I got that. I understand why he does that. Why don't you not lean on that? Why don't you ask God what his heart for that person is? And you know what you might be? You might get filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what happens when you get filled with the Holy Spirit? You get filled with joy,
yes,
peace, patience, kindness, love, all those beautiful things that you don't get if you're leaning on your own. Because if you got it, you don't need his help, do you? No, I don't need your help, Lord. I saw what happened. I'll just tell it like it is. Aren't you glad that Jesus is not going to stand up there with the Father? Oh, God, I got this. I'm just going to tell you what it is, how it is. Is that how you want it to be?
That's how we do it.
I don't think you want it to be that way. I don't want it to be that way. And do you see? That's what, back to that verse. Do everything apart from murmuring or giving your own shallow, natural, human reasoning, that ye may become blameless and pure children of God. You know what the beautiful thing about being pure is? You're not going to taint anybody else,
yes,
with your corruption.
Yes, yes.
Aren't we tired of being vessels of tainting other people and affecting them in the wrong way? And don't you want to be free from all bitterness? Don't you want to be free from complaining? Don't you want to be filled with the love of God?
Amen.
And just see it as a privilege to suffer long for people and bear with them and be patient and have hope for them and actually love them like Jesus Christ is loving us. Man, that's what I want. I want to be like Jesus. Because when God was in Christ, it said, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he was reconciling the world to himself. Because the world was at enmity with him. The world was at odds with him. But he says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing men's trespasses against them. Now the word impute is a calculator term. It means not, it's like not calculating. Okay, this brother says this. He's this way toward his wife. I don't even like the way he does this. Total. God did not do that in Christ.
Amen.
God sees some of the things we have in our life now. And you know what he does? No, I'm going to cancel that out. Zero.
You,
with my blood.
Yeah.
I'm not going to factor that in. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
That's how we're to be with others. Yeah, you saw it. You saw it. They said it. They did it. Or they didn't do it. Yeah. Zero it out. You forgive them like the Lord forgave you. You see, that's the way. That's supposed to be the church. And if people knew that we were willing to do that with them, They could come here knowing they've got some issues. But if they see how accurate we are in our calculations, and that we are willing to discuss our calculations with other like-minded people, they know, they realize that they just might be the subject of some of our conversations. It's not very inviting, is it? You know, people know when we're not filled with hope and grace for them. They know that. Anyway, I'm in danger maybe of saying too much. So why don't we just ask God for the rest of this to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let me quote some prayers of the Apostle Paul. I'm not trying to show that I've memorized them. I don't try to memorize them. I want to experience them. Yes. Now may the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being empowered with all power according to His glorious might, unto all endurance and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. May God the Father strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ can dwell in your heart through faith, and you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how long and wide and high and deep is this love of God, so that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That God would fill you with His all joy and peace, that He would make your love to abound more and more in all knowledge and depth of insight, so that you could be able to discern the things that are excellent. Oh, Lord, we want, Father, Your heavenly Spirit. Amen. We acknowledge that Your ways are far, far above our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are Your thoughts above ours. We need Your help to think straight. We need Your Spirit. We cannot operate in the way that's pleasing to You without Your energy producing both Your desire and Your ability in us. For Your own name's sake, Heavenly Father, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Fill us with Your grace. Let us experience You in a way that becomes obvious to others. Change us in such a way that no one can miss it. Oh. Make us witnesses of Your Son. And let us become those. Every one of us here, admit right now, Father, that in our own natural state and ability, we're not there. We cannot do this on Your own. Your Son was amazing. We bless You for Him. No wonder You chose Him to be Lord. How perfect, how righteous, how fair, how just, how good He was. And His anger was directed to those who were not merciful, who were not hopeful, who justified and defended themselves and made it actually harder for people to know You. We are glad that He did not sanction the way they were making You appear. We bless You that He showed the world Your goodness. And we are glad that He is our Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. We so approve of Your choice, and we humble ourselves. And You have said through Your servants not only was he filled with your power, all your fullness dwelt in him bodily. You said that's how we're made complete. That we actually get to partake of the divine nature through your Holy Spirit coming to live in us. Lord, we've experienced a life long enough living like the Gentiles do. We've lived like them long enough. Lord, please, for your own name's sake, so dynamically finish this work in us that we can become a people who live by the power of your Holy Spirit in us rather than the influence of the world upon us. For your own name's sake. Do this among us. And it's something we pray today. And we realize, Lord, as we greet one another, as we depart from this place, this is something we need. I am so grateful, Heavenly Father, that the new covenant is not just a new set of rules to follow. It's you yourself by your Spirit allowing us to actually receive you working on the inside of us, giving us a new heart and a new spirit. What a wonderful gift. What a great salvation. Thank you. Now, for your name's sake, Lord, enable us to experience the new covenant and the life of your Son in such a way that we can help those other people out there who are still struggling in their natural humanity like we have. Make us vessels of mercy. Fill us with the patience of a wonderful, loving mother to help others grow up into their potential in you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing a song just to close out our service today. Just a